Hey, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. It's great to be with you. And I know my program doesn't normally start this way, but, we've got a special program, and I know you enjoy it. You understand it when I get to the message.
He was just a young man.
I'll be back after Debbie does this great song that she has written.
To make us
a free nation that we are, independent and sovereign under God, independent but dependent upon God. And I'm glad today that you've tuned in. I trust that our time will be a blessing. I appreciate the song that Debbie just did for us. Like I told you in the introduction of it, she wrote that, and what a beautiful, beautiful song that it is. I've opened my Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, and I tell you, I've struggled to find the right place to take my text from today for this message that I know God has laid on my heart. And, I just trust that it'll be as good a place as I can find. I don't know how to say it any other way. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, the Word of God says this. And I'm going to begin reading to verse 6. It said, therefore, and this is Moses now speaking to the children of Israel, the second generation of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, the generation that was ready to cross over the Jordan and enter into the land of promise, that land that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And he was rehearsing the law. Deuteronomy means the second law, actually. And he said this in chapter 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land in whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Now listen to that. Listen to this. I've read that to get to this. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He has given thee. Beware, he said, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping His commandments, in His judgments, in His statutes, when I command you or thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from thy house of bondage. I want to talk to you today about this idea, about this thought. Let's not forget. Do you know, friend, listen, forgetting is one of the most dangerous things that anybody can do. So let's not forget. As we look at this passage in Deuteronomy, it begins actually back over in verse 6, or at least the idea of warnings, of instructions and warning. And this is a warning given by God through Moses to the children of Israel, a people that God had blessed, ready to put them in a land that God had blessed and just had it poised and waiting on them. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I love America. I love our nation. Thank God. I'll tell you what, I love the old red, white, and blue. Do you hear me? I have no problem standing when our national anthem is played. And I'll be truthful with you, oft times when I hear it played and sung in certain venues, I get a lump in my throat. Man, I'll tell you, my heart feels something. Do you hear me? I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful to be American. I love this land of the free and of the brave. I'm glad, friend, for my heritage. Oh, I'm glad to be an American today. But I want you to know something. I want you to know something. There are things that we ought to not forget. We ought not to forget, friend, when we begin to look around and see what's going on in America. When and you know, it depends on your philosophy as to what you think about what's happening. Isn't that amazing? It depends on how you lean and who you associate yourself with, whether you think it's good or whether you think it's bad. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm thankful today for our founding. I'm thankful for our founders. I'm thankful for the freedom that we all enjoy. Why, our Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, the United States of America, are three of the greatest man-made documents known to man, and are those things, friend, which makes America, America. How wonderful it is, the insight that our founders and forefathers had, how wise they were, how in tune with the reality of life they were. My, what they have written today, or in that day, still stands as a landmark of truth and liberty and freedom, even in our day. Hey, listen, they wrote about giving us freedom of religion. They assured that we'd have freedom of speech, right to bear arms, and other things that are truly remarkable landmarks of a free and democratic republic. Oh, I tell you again, I'm glad to be an American, but I'm afraid we're forgetting some things at times that we ought to remember. I'm afraid that our educational system seems to be failing in propagating our nation's history as it should without change. You know, there's a lot of people that want to rewrite American history. A lot of people would like to destroy, friend, our past, our foundations. And oh, look, we ought to be very cautious about that. Hey, we ought to remember. We ought to remember certain things. Listen, every generation yet to come ought to remember certain things. You ought to remember, friend, be told at least the cost of what it was to become an independent nation called the United States of America. People ought to remember the horrors of two world wars and the advances of a Nazi regime that tried to take over the world and annihilate the chosen people of God. I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of things we ought not to forget. But listen, regardless of what anybody says, we are a Christian nation. Do you realize that? Oh, I know in many ways we're backslidden. We're backslidden from our foundation. We're backslidden from our God. But I want you to know our documents, our laws, our memorials, our governmental buildings, even the divisions of our government find their basis in the Word of God and in our Judeo-Christian background. I'm glad today, thank God, that we're one nation under God. Oh, I don't have any problem saying Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, do you? Oh, friend, I'll tell you there's some things that we ought not to forget, and I'll get to them in just a little while. I rarely date my messages, and if you've listened to me any time at all, you know that to be true. But today I'm making this message in June of 2018, and the Lord willing, it will be played in July 2018. And you say, why did you do that? Well, because without saying that, I don't know that this message would make a great deal of sense. You see, many positive things are happening now in our nation after 8 years of decline, of continual decline. And can you ever imagine any president of the United States of America being foolish enough to say, we're leading from behind? You don't lead from behind, you follow. But thank God, I'm glad today we have a president who is pro-American, a president that understands what his greatest responsibility are to his constituents. I'm glad he understands that the first thing he needs to do is to protect the Constitution of the United States of America. And by the way, that document isn't a living document. Bless God, listen, the Supreme Court judges that are chosen to that bench and to that position ought not to be Democratic or Republic. They ought to be a constitutionalist. They ought to be able to go in and to look at that great document and try to determine as best they can the original ideas of those who wrote them and put it on parchment. Thank God. We've got a president that knows what he's supposed to be doing. Not only is he supposed to protect the Constitution of the United States of America, he's supposed to protect its citizens. He's supposed to provide for you and I, sir, ma'am, a strong military. And thank God, I'm glad that he is listening. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with everything that he does. But let me tell you what I do agree with. Thank God, I agree with the things that he's doing to make America, to make America great again, to see the low employment that there is in America, to see the increase in jobs and manufacturing, an increase in the gross domestic product, our economic growth, to see the increased spending for our military, how he stands on his foreign policy, and thank God for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. Oh, I could go on with many other things today, but time will not allow it. But I'll tell you, there are other things that that I ought to mention that makes America to be America and allows her to thrive and lead and be what God has intended for her to be. And I believe God, friend, I believe God in this day and hour has given us a reprieve. Do you hear me? I shudder to think what our nation would be right now, where it would head had Hillary Clinton gotten in. Listen, we wouldn't have known about the deep state, wouldn't have known about all the corruption in the Department of Justice, in the FBI. I'm telling you, friend, we'd be in a mess. Do you hear me? But I believe God, and we're already in a mess, I believe God has given us a reprieve of sorts. He knows our hearts, and from all indication, He's given us a leader that reflects at least most of the hearts of those of us men and women here in America, just like He gave Saul to Israel long ago as their first king. Listen, friend, we need to rejoice right now. Absolutely. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes would tell us. We ought to rejoice and enjoy the times that that we have these blessings from the Lord. But let's not forget, listen, would to God, would to God, God would bring us a spiritual leader like He brought us a political leader like Donald Trump, to turn America around, to bring us to our knees, to have us to call upon God and repent. Whoa! If God can bring us a man politically, I believe He can bring us a man spiritually. But until He does, or if He never does, let's not forget. Now listen, I want you to know America was born out of the will of God a long time ago. But I want you to know this. America is out of the will of God. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, although we're prospering, although things are looking pretty good, although we've come up and got us a good breath of air, so to speak, although some changes is in the wind, and although, friend, listen, some right decisions are being made, let's not forget that in 1962, the United States Supreme Court of America decided that prayer was no longer legal in schools. And now we've got school shootings and many other societally unhealthy items and options. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, do you know kids can get birth control in school? Even girls who get pregnant can have an abortion without their parents knowing about it? Hey, friend, I'll tell you, when you kick God out of something, you get the wrong thing back in it in return. 1973. The United States Supreme Court legalized murder in the womb. Now they call it women's right, and they call it a woman's health issue. But let me tell you something, friend. It's not too healthy for that unborn child in that mother's womb. Bless God, who's defending it and its right to seek life and health and happiness and prosperity. Oh, there used to be a time when the womb of a mother, when a school house, and when a church house was the three most safe places you could be in the world, and now they're about the most dangerous. Isn't that amazing? After the Roe versus Wade decision, there have been 50 million plus abortions today. Yearly, there's better than 600,000 abortions, and some people I've read after say over a million. There's a daily 3,500 babies aborted, and let's call it what it is. Actually murdered. America has even been a leading advocate for abortions worldwide, especially under other U.S. administrations. Oh, listen, friend, I want you to know something. We ought not to forget. God sees and will not forget the way our nation is stained red with the blood of innocent babies. I'm telling you, friend, let's enjoy what we've got. Let's rejoice as believers in God Almighty, as adherents to the Word of God, as followers of Christ. Listen, we ought to seek His face. We ought to go before His throne and find what His will is for us in this hour. I know it's to evangelize the world. I know it's to be like Christ. I know it's to propagate the gospel. But if there's something special, we ought to seek His face. In 2012, the Democratic Party voted God out of its platform. Do you remember that? And then they adopted Him back back in. Now, let me tell you something, friend. What they did initially is what they really wanted and what they thought best. Their true feelings came out in that first proposal to get rid of the name of God in that party's platform. Oh, I want you to know something, friend. That's a part of the problem in America today. God's been kicked out of too many things He ought to be in the center of. In 2015. United States Supreme Court of America thought it able to redefine marriage, an institution designed and ordained by God, and as old an institution as man himself, thus attempted to make man greater and more knowledgeable God. I don't care what the courts say. I don't care what people think. Marriage is, listen, between a man and a woman for life. In 1901, 1952, the American Standard and the Revised Standard Version of the Bible were printed and embraced by many, not by all, but by many, which has led, I believe, to a massive and a mess of Bible versions, all of which cannot be right, nor the final authority. And I believe it's led to what we're witnessing today, a transformation of the New Testament church, where we find Jesus on the outside, as we see Him depicted in Revelation 3:20, and not on the inside, in the center of everything that's said or done. Hey, folks, we're in a mess spiritually. We need somebody. We need somebody sent from God, a man of God, commissioned by God, called of God, enabled by God, anointed by God, to lead us in America. Thank God, like President Trump has. Oh, he'll have opposition. People won't like it. But we need an old-fashioned sky blue, rock bottom, heaven sent, bless God, God blessed revival, and where we'll change our minds, where our heart gets changed, where our life gets changed, our living gets changed, our destiny gets changed. I'm telling you, friend, I'm afraid God's Word has become optional to too many today in our nation and in our world, instead of being optimal by all who profess they know Jesus as their Savior. And let me give you one more before I call on us to repent. I think I've got time. Let's not forget, bless God, that we've decided man ought to get what he wants when he comes to church instead of getting what he needs. In this pragmatic, emergent church movement, listen, there might be a great deal of will worship, but I'll tell you what, I don't believe it could be identified as real worship. A worship today that is man-centered instead of God-centered. A worship today that caters to the desires of man and not the will of God. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, we ought not to forget in this day that God is blessing us. Things are turning around. It's looking bright. It's looking good. It's looking better. But we ought not to forget that God told Jeremiah to tell His people to ask for the old paths, to stand in the way in the sea, to ask for the old paths, the good way, and to walk therein. I'm telling you, friend, listen. If God called America back to the right path, or Israel back to the right path, I believe He's calling us back to the right paths today, to embrace them, to walk in them, to stand on them, oh, to rejoice in them. Look, it's the old path, yeah, and it's not good just because it's the old path. Listen, it's God's path. It's God's way. It's a way that that the vulture has not seen. Whoa, friend, I'll tell you, we need to do what David said in Psalm 119. I thought on my ways and turned my feet to His testimonies. Listen, I believe in closing, we've got an opportunity. I believe we've got an open window right now. So let's invest. Let's embrace. Let's repent. Let's return. Let's redo as God called the church of Ephesus to do in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. You know what He told them to do? He said, unless you repent. He said, I'll come and remove your candlestick. That's exactly what He told them. So He said, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to remember. In verse 5, you need to repent, and then you need to redo your first works. Oh, listen, friend, we ought to fall on our face before God. We ought to pray for our leadership. We ought to pray for our president. We ought to pray for the executive, legislative, judicial branches of our government. We ought to pray for men and women to be godly and holy. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't care what kind of government anybody has. I don't care what's written on paper. I don't care what's etched in the stone buildings that house our government or the memorials that remind us of our past. Bless God, we've got to have people that fill the offices of our government with the right spirit, the right character, the right frame of mind. Oh, friend, I'll tell you, let's not forget. Let's not forget how God has blessed us. Let's not forget, friend, listen, what we've done in the past. Let's embrace this moment. Let's seize it, if you will. Let's do with it everything how we can that God has given us the opportunity that we can. Do you know, I'm aware of the fact that before God judges, He always gives opportunity of repentance and return. Isn't that amazing? I've wondered about America time and again. Wondered if we've crossed the line. Wondered if we've not gone too far. And I still don't know the complete answer. But I know how God's dealt with me with this message. I know that we ought not to forget our past because we've got a little reprieve in the present. I'm telling you, God won't forget. God won't forget. God won't forget. But I'm telling you what we need to do. We need to get God right in the midst of everything we do, everything we are. If we profess Christ, bless God, there ought to be some change in our life that there needs to be. We ought to repent where we ought to repent. Our churches ought to change. Our homes ought to change. Our communities ought to change. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there ought to be something happen more than just something economically in this good opportunity that God has given us. There ought to be something amazing, something powerful, something global, something eternal happen here in America because God's given us this privilege, and it can if we don't forget under the next time they come.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEVBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.